Blog Talk Radio. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love this time of the day. I love how the cool, crisp night air kisses the ground, leaving behind a gentle layer of dew. I love looking up into the night sky and seeing the moon shining down upon us like an old, trusted friend. I look forward to spending our Thursday nights here together on Blog Talk Radio as we travel together on this journey into the night.
Delving into the mind of a book reviewer and editor. Angela Rucker Campbell has a passion for the written word. Deciding to act upon that passion, she founded Addicted to Reviews, where she showcases books and posts her reviews of said books on her blog. A fan of paranormal romance, sci-fi romance, happily ever after mystery, among many others, Angela looks forward to working with authors as they prepare their treasured manuscripts for the reading public. She has a very important job, doesn't she, being the editor?
Oh, yeah.
So
it's an
anyway,
lifeline.
Let's bring Angela on and give her a warm, Deadly Read welcome. Hello, Angela. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Angela.
Nice to have you here. Well, goodness sakes. Tell you what, you may be taking your own life coming on this show. Lisa and I can be a little crazy at times.
You know, I'm okay with that. We're in the indie
crazy
book world. Everybody's crazy.
That's right.
You know, that's true. That's true. We are. We have to be crazy to be in the indie book world.
We really do. You know, but I have to mention, I did not hear the beginning the first time that I listened in whenever you had Marcia on. Hearing it this time, I was really waiting on Ghost Riders in the Sky. I just have to go there.
Yeah, that's some awesome music. I found that on one of those sites where you can do it, you know, because license free and all that, as long as you put a disclaimer on the show. And I just fell in love with it. I thought it was perfect for a nighttime show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like sitting over here bebopping.
Yeah. You bebopping, huh? It's a good song.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it's perfect music for the show.
Okay, carry on. Lisa, you need to stay closer to the mic, honey. We're losing you. You're fading out.
Okay, sorry. Usually I'm too loud, I think. But
it's because she doesn't want to hang out with me tonight.
We miss you when you fade away.
Aw, it's
okay.
Nice to be missed.
You keep on. I'm going to take it personally.
Okay, Angela, now, how old were you when you discovered your love for reading?
Oh, goodness, I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember being in kindergarten, sitting there. We had the old Encyclopedia Britannicas, you know, like the traveling salesman comes around and sells them to you.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And I remember I remember laying on the floor just, you know, devouring it, and I used to irritate the crap out of my mom because about every other word I'd be like, okay, well, what is this? Mm-hmm. And so finally she's like, if you don't know what it is, I don't want to hear it.
Uh-oh.
But really,
in other words,
my
she
escape.
Made you learn, huh? She made you learn, huh?
Something. It taught me to entertain myself.
Right.
That's a good way to entertain yourself, is reading, because it makes your mind grow, you know? I mean, and what better way than on the encyclopedia? Goodness sakes, girl, you must be a brainiac now if you read the whole encyclopedia.
Oh, I wish. I remember the only thing I asked for that year for my birthday was a dictionary, so that way I wouldn't have to bug people anymore.
Oh, that's funny.
That was a smart thing. I remember years ago when the little encyclopedia guy come around knocking on our door, and it was when I was first married, and, you know, he's poor, you know, young couple, didn't have two dimes to rub to get together, and anyway, we decided, oh, you know, we've got to get this for the kids. Well, you know, I think we ended up only being able to afford, I think, like four of them. We never did finish out the set, so we had a half encyclopedia. I mean, not even half, you know, just a section of the encyclopedia. But, you know, hey, those A's, B's, and C's, those are pretty, you know, as long as most of the world's in that, we're fine.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, at that point, you can at least fake it.
Oh, is that
exactly
what it is? But,
yeah,
you know,
as long
you really
as you have the A's, B's, and C's, you can fake it.
Yeah,
there you
that's
go.
Right.
But, you know, you really don't need them today because now you got Google.
Right.
You have the internet.
Right.
you know.
What
so, I mean,
we
it's
do without
up.
Google?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Google is an editor's best friend.
That's right. It
authors,
is.
Authors, too.
Oh,
you
yeah.
But now, if you write dark thrillers like I do, I just hope that I don't ever have the SWAT team kicking on my door because of my browsing history.
Right.
Get on there and I'm looking up, you know, how to build a bomb.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but even as an editor, like, I have to go back and check you. So, unfortunately, I have to look up the same exact thing.
So, okay, so right. Both of us are going to get hauled off. Okay, there you
yeah.
go.
Oh, no, I already have an agreement with my best friend that upon my death, the first thing she does before she even calls anybody is deletes my browser history.
There you go.
There you go. That's funny.
That's funny. Now, have you ever had a book that you, the information you had to look up kind of made you uneasy, happened to do it? Have you ever edited a book like that?
Oh, God, yes. There's been two.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those honestly were bad enough that I did request my name be left off of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's sad.
Really?
Yes.
Bad.
Oh, that's
so
pretty bad.
The content you didn't like, you was just making sure the grammar and everything was correct.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, I'm an extremely open-minded person, but
mm-hmm.
but there are a couple of things that's even outside of my no-fly zone,
mm-hmm. right?
And it just so happens, given that I do help a lot of new authors. There was this one that it was her first book, and I swear, I think she took every taboo that she could come up with and threw them all together into a melting pot and came up with a book.
Oh my gosh.
And I had to take a break about every 15 minutes just because I couldn't stomach it.
Well, has the book done any good? Has the book done well? Have you heard?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You cut ties, ran away.
I think there's like special areas for those taboo books to be sold. That's not in your regular browser search.
No, I can assure you that is not part of my browser searches.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Now, what made you decide to get into doing editing other than your love for reading? I mean, is it something you've been – I mean, are you one of those people whenever you read a book, you're subconsciously editing it anyway?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely a grammar Nazi.
Oh.
Mm.
Ooh, crossing my fingers, boo.
But you know what? That's okay, because without my editing, your book wouldn't be as good as it does.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
That is true.
So I'm okay with that.
I have learned to love the grammar Nazis. I like grammar Nazis. So
I don't mind them as long as I've actually read the book.
Right.
That is true. You know,
anyway.
But unfortunately now there are a lot of people that, you know, they don't understand how difficult it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Yeah. Now tell us how you started Addicted to Reviews.
Well, that's actually kind of a funny story. My husband now, he and I have been married for 2.5 years, and whenever we got married, he had told, he was moving to a completely different state, and he told me, if you'll read it, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not realize what he was signing up for at that point, because I usually average about 200 to 300 page books a week.
Wow.
Needless to say, that's not cheap.
Wow.
So I had this one author that I had fallen in love with her first book, and I one-clicked her entire series. There was like 6 books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was done with them within 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I started speaking to her on Facebook, and that was when she explained to me about reviews being a thing. And so I had written up reviews for all of her books, and after that, there was a couple of other authors that she had mentioned me to, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And that was
wow.
about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, do you have the real long list like most other reviewers do? They end up like, oh, my God, I can't take anything for like 6 months. Are you that way also?
No.
No? Oh, really?
No, because I now with this year, with me opening the editing business, I did cut back some. And so for the most part, I'm mainly sticking with authors that I've reviewed for before. You know, any new authors coming in, it's just on an as-time basis.
Okay, that's understandable. Cause I know a lot of times, you know, when Lacey and I go out shopping for reviewers, because they are hard to find. And
they're
hard to find some that, you know, and this is going to sound really bad, but it's hard to find some that will actually read the book. I gave
a
while back to a reviewer, and I know she didn't read the book because the review, I'm like, what book is she talking about? You know?
Right.
She was talking about plots that wasn't even in my book. And so, you know, you're like, well, okay, well, that one didn't work out too well. But,
unfortunately, you do have those that, honestly, they're just looking to score free stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's good. I mean, reviews are so important. Readers have no idea how important a review is to the author. You know, that's
right.
Like on Amazon, you know, you have your books on there, and, you know, sometimes we'll have them for free or, you know, real dirt cheap and, you know, whatever type of a thing for them. And I always, at the end of a book, you know, right there when they're reading that last sentence of the story, you know, say, please take a moment to leave a review. And I'll have the link directly back to that book page on Amazon so that, you know, at that moment they can just hit it and go back, you know. And, you know, it's still hard to get reviews, because like on Amazon, if your book once hits 50 reviews, they start promoting it for you.
Mm-hmm. That is true, but unfortunately a lot of authors are, in my opinion, you know, this is just my opinion, you know, there are also a lot of authors that are, excuse my French, screwing themselves out of good reviews and good reviewers because with, you know, the changes in Amazon's policies, there are so many reviewers that would leave a great review that are banned from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I know, isn't that horrible?
Right.
Like, I was actually one of the first.
Really? You can't leave reviews on Amazon?
No. I haven't been able to in probably about a year and a half.
Oh, no, that's not... Yeah.
You know, another thing, too, if you're an author, you can't leave a review for another author. Say I go out and I buy an author's book, I can't leave a review for them.
Right.
Yeah, and
you know?
I mean, and I do understand how important those Amazon reviews are, but at the same time, okay, for instance, you know, I could leave you a damn good review on Goodreads or even on my blog where I have close to 300 subscribers, but for a lot of authors, that's not good enough.
Right.
Oh, I take review anywhere I can get it. I don't care. You know,
oh, yeah, me too. I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, because y'all are easy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that, yes, I'm easy, but I'm not cheap.
Depends on who you ask.
Now, ask my husband, he says I'm not cheap.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's the sad part about it is, you know, that... I don't know. I don't understand Amazon, what they've done. It's like they're making it really hard for the indie.
They are.
I think a lot of it because the traditional ones are getting them a little all worked up because we're cutting into their profit margin. But, you know, hey, that's the way the world works. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Can't. So, yeah, it makes it difficult. Now, out of your books, if you're given a book, what's your favorite to do a review on? Your favorite genre?
If it's a good one, suspense.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good one.
Like what type of suspense? Give me an idea of a storyline.
Usually I get into like either law enforcement or serial killers. Or a combination of both. I'm all good with a hot cop and a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she'd probably like Next Move You're Dead then, wouldn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's my
trilogy.
Yeah, it's got a... It's the cop, you know, bad guy, the whole thing, you know. Dark, twisted, psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more psychological thriller suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. See, and that, yeah, and I love those.
Mm-hmm.
Just now, unfortunately, with that's the other side of there being so many indies now, you know, it's really hard to differentiate the good from the bad.
Right.
That is true. That is true. Well, you know, all of us, Lisa and I both, hand up, guilty, you know, have made the green mistakes at the beginning. Thought we had clean books, put them out there. Readers let us know they weren't. You know, got beat up pretty good, you know. And, you know, that was stupid beginner mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, we do everything we can not to do that anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. A lot of them get too anxious. And mom and dad and brother, sister, cousins, everybody says it's wonderful. And then, you know, the reader's like, what the heck's this garbage? So that's where people like
yeah.
you come
in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually had a book that I proofread. And, you know, unfortunately, I had told her that it wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she went ahead and put it out anyway. And she has actually caught a lot of slack for it, been accused of plagiarizing the whole nine, which that part wasn't my job, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I was strictly the proofreader.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, people need to be careful about that, you know, the whole plagiarism, you know. That's why, like, Lisa and I don't think you or I would ever get accused of plagiarism because our stories are totally different. We don't follow the trail, do we, Lisa?
No, no. Yeah, that was one of the main things I tried to do was make sure, because I have a thick fantasy story that I'm working on, and I'm a big J.R.R. Tolkien fan. And I told Linda, I said, okay, you know, I gotta be, you know, because I was creating creatures, you know, I said, okay, I gotta be careful and not make anything too similar to, you know, his stuff because I like him. Because sometimes you do that unconsciously, you know. Without realizing
it.
So I've worked really hard not to do that.
But with creatures, it is a little different because, you know, for instance, Tolkien, you know, most of his come from mythology. So, therefore, you're really not borrowing from him.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Well, like the book finishing up now that she's going to be releasing, Moon People, it's sci-fi, and she was afraid, you know, when she's trying to come up with the weapons of not accidentally falling into the names of what, you know, you'd use in Star Wars and the other ones because she didn't want to get in trouble. So she was trying to make up, you know, different names for these, you know, these handheld, you know, laser guns without, you know, stepping on any toes that might be copyrighted, you know.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
People don't understand how much work goes into a book.
No, they don't.
Now, when you get a book, what's the first thing you do? You get it. You said you do a lot of first-time authors, correct? Is that correct what you said?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you get a book from a greenhorn. They have, you know, spent however long on their masterpiece. They are so proud of it. They are so in love. They know it's going to be the next bestseller for the world to fall in love with. What's the first thing you do when you get the manuscript from them?
Rip apart the editing.
Shatter those hopes and dreams.
That's right. I I dream at night to the dreams of little people.
Right.
Now, have you ever had anyone get mad because you're saying this part really needs to go and you want to cut a pretty good section
absolutely.
Out of their story because it's just fluff? Okay. Do they get upset with you?
Absolutely. Usually they're going to say, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no.
Which, and I'm okay with that, you know. If,
yeah.
If they want to do that, that it's their name on that book. Just don't put my name on it at that point.
Right.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
But, yes, usually the first thing I do is go through and look at all the spelling first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is where 90% of books fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Either because they get in a hurry and they miss words altogether, or because they do not know how to use two, two, and two.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the next step you do after that, if you've torn all that apart?
Oh, you know, all of a sudden I'm sounding like a really horrible person.
No.
No, this is a procedure. Lisa and I know, we've done it too, so.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, when I was one of these little greenhorns that I thought my book was perfect, you know, because brothers, sisters, you know, cousins, with a good heart, oh, we love the story, you know, and stuff. And so I went with it, and I shouldn't have, you know. And then when I did finally get a professional person to look at it, I was like, but they all said it was good, you know. So
you were
ready
to cry, weren't you?
Right. So that's the first and foremost thing a new author or any author needs to realize is family, they love you, so they're not going to
lie.
They're going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right, right. Right. So I guess what I'm getting at is I appreciate, you know, an honest opinion of saying if I write something and it sucks, then I want you to tell me it sucks so that I don't get a review that tells me it sucks later on, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Once those reviews are on social media, they are there forever to haunt you and your
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the second thing I normally do is go through and look at the sentence structure. You know, after that, then I'm confident enough that I can go back and read the story to make sure it actually flows well, you know, to make sure your tenses aren't all screwed up. You know, if I'm doing a developmental edit to make sure I understand everything going on. Because, granted, no, I don't think readers are stupid, but most readers don't want to have to think. Most people
mm-hmm.
want to be able to lose themselves in that story. They, you know, unless they're setting out for a mystery or something like that, they don't want to have to think about it.
Right.
You know, it's my job to make sure that they don't have to think. They know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I want to ask, have you found that readers today don't want us using words that are too complicated, too long, and you need to whip out a dictionary to know what you're reading? Have you found that with readers? They want more simplicity or not?
trying to think of a nice way to say it.
Be brutally honest. We're brutally honest. That's Lisa and I.
Okay, readers today are lazy.
There you go.
Hey,
most
they're tired. You work all day long.
Do not
want to relax.
Well, not to mention, honestly, a lot of people today aren't as educated as they were. Not in real life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with us having a very entitled generation, they don't understand the hardships that, say, you or I had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And so what to us is reality, to them is fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I try to keep my vocabulary fairly simple. You know, I'm not saying it's written for like a child, but I try not to stay away from too complex words. And I've had some reviews say I write like I'm in high school. I had a couple of those come out. And then
mm-hmm.
I had other people say, oh, like, oh, my goodness, thank you. It's so easy to sit, relax, read, enjoy, you
mm-hmm.
know. My husband one time told me, he goes, when I was first doing it and he read through something, he goes, you know one thing, honey? He goes, one thing I say about your stories. I said, what's that? He goes, I didn't have to take out the dictionary.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, cool. You know?
Cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and you do have some readers that, you know, they do still want to think, but unfortunately those are becoming the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think there's authors out there that would write that for them, so that's good, you know.
Right.
They just have
to find. I think that's kind of sad, though, that, I mean, because when I first started, I wanted to write, high like that, you know, and but then it messed up my flow, and so I realized after time that I don't need to write that way. I need to write how I write and not worry about using the, you know, 20 letter words and all those things. Just write, you know, it doesn't flow naturally when you try to force it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and some authors aren't able to, you know, dumb down their writing enough to appeal to the masses.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now,
if you're really into the written word, you want to, as an author, at least for me, I want to put out the best that I can do, and I want to show, you know, I guess this is, maybe it's in my own mind, but I want to show that that I know what I'm doing and that I, you know, have intelligence, you know, and it's not just thrown out there. Does that make sense?
It does, but at that point, instead of trying to sell books, you're showing that you have something to prove.
Right, true. Yeah.
And to a point, that's going to show your readers, hey, look, I'm smarter than you.
I didn't look at it that way, but yeah, I see your point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
okay, I'll get off my soapbox now.
That's okay. Your soapbox is fine. This is your show. You can soapbox all you want to.
I don't have very many readers at the end of it by that point.
Well, you know, I think there's different, like y'all said, there's different classes of readers, and there are those that still like, say, 200,000 word books, you know. And then there's
the more classical form of writing too, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like for me personally, I can't stand a book that's usually less than about 300 pages.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. I mean, I was used to reading things like, you know, the Thornbirds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do a short story, you know, as far as.
And let me just mention, I love my authors like that.
Right.
They make my heart happy.
Right.
But, you know, I found a lot of readers today, they like the right around 60,000 to 70,000, well, anywhere from 50,000 to 70,000 word books, most readers are saying, because they're busy and they're, you know, they get it and they get to enjoy it and get to go on to the next one. I guess it's that ADD mentality that a lot of us have nowadays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a long attention span anymore.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Like, if I had a regular full-time job, I'm not so sure that I would feel the way I do.
Oh, okay.
Given that this is literally my only job, you know, I think that does make it a lot easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, as far as your reviews, which genre is your favorite to do a review on?
Oh, that's I would still have to say suspense, even though the genre that I most review is contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, contemporary. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, but at the same time, like, it gets old.
Now, do you get a lot of the, like, the chick lit type books? Is that what you mean, like, contemporary?
Yeah. No. Well, and now, like, the second chance romance is a big thing.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yes. But at the same time, there's only so many ways that you can meet a guy and then meet him again years later.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It's funny how people will get in these little groups, you know, like, you know, there for years, you know, vampires, and then it moved on into werewolves, and, you know, and it's like, you know, and everybody was going and writing those books, and I'm thinking, you know, by the time you get your book done, that fad's going to be over with. So why don't you just be, instead of being a follower, be a trendsetter? You know, that was like Lisa when she started her Hella Days, you know. Really, this horrible creature she's come up with, to me, and I told her it reminded me of you, took and mixed a vampire and a werewolf together into one creature.
Right.
And, you know, by the description and the things that they can do, so, you know, imagine, you know, a mixed together type creature. And they're mm-hmm. really quite scary and quite horrible, you know.
Right.
But she's kind of set her own little path with these creatures mm-hmm. she's done, you know, that's out of the norm of what everybody else is following, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess now Shapeshifters, is the big one now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, how many round animals are we going to shape shift into? So.
Yes, I still read a lot of paranormal romance.
Oh, do you?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually I review everything for Naughty Nights Press.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
And I also edit for them as well.
Mhm.
I'm working on one right now. I guess you would call it paranormal romance. It has to do with reincarnation and this, that, and the other, and going through time together and stuff. I guess it's kind of paranormal romance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to me, that would still fall under PNR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
So I'm finishing books I started a long time ago, and I kept getting distracted. I said, I'm going to get these books done so I can get them out of my way.
Well, I have to ask you. Seems to be a big thing now.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, I have to ask you though. Have you ever thought of writing a story yourself, or have you written any books or any stories?
No, I'll leave that for you, ladies.
And you don't have any interest in doing it?
None whatsoever.
Okay.
She knows how hard it is to clean up our mess. She doesn't want to be the one making the mess.
Right. That was even before I opened my business. You know, I mean, because that was even before I opened my business. I've just never had a desire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My imagination doesn't work well enough to write a story.
Right.
I have no problem getting lost in a story, but mm-hmm. I have a very literal mind, so therefore, you know, just actually writing it doesn't work for me.
Gotcha.
The only way I would be able to do it is if it was like a nonfiction book or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you're the type of reader you like to get lost and consumed by the story then. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Very much so. Oh, yeah. I write out everything. You know, my husband doesn't exist. Kids don't get fed.
Now, are you one of those readers that gets upset if your hero dies or something bad happens to him?
It depends on the book and how invested I am in the story.
Okay.
You know, I do actually have one author, you know, and she will call and read me chapters because I'm dying for more.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, in a standard conversation between me and her is, well, that's not fair. He needs to... Oh, yeah, I probably can't say that on air. Never mind. I really need a filter on my mouth, just a warning.
Well, this is satellite, this is, you know, internet radio, so I don't think we'll get you know, I don't think the FCC will come get us.
Nah, you're fine.
Yeah, like, she and I, like, she'll call me and read me a chapter, and I'm like, okay, but how much lovin' did he get?
Yeah.
And she'll be like, well, he got this and this. I was like, no, you got to at least let him get a blowjob. He has
right.
to at least get that.
Right.
That's true. Aw, you feel sorry for the poor guy.
I do. I do. And he's misunderstood.
Right.
<Okay. laughs> You know, as an author, that makes you feel good to hear people get to where a character is so real to them. Because
mm-hmm.
they're real to us when we're writing them, you know. I mean,
right.
You know, they're so. And when you find out that a reader is feeling the same way, it makes you realize
mm-hmm.
all those hours of banging your head on your desk and gallons of coffee and, you know, delete, and cut, and, you know, crying
right.
and screaming have actually paid off. You know?
You know,
exactly.
But unfortunately, that's also the bad thing about reading as many books as I do, is it does make it really hard for me to get that invested in stories anymore. You know, it has to be, I mean, it's an extraordinary story that can catch me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
How long does it take you to know if you're going to get into this story or not? Can you determine that by chapter-wise or story-wise, you know?
Within a chapter, I know whether I'm with it or not.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's important for everybody out there writing your books. Grab them in that first chapter.
That's true. I mean, because I entered this contest, The thing of the contest was to post your first 4 or 5, maybe it wasn't a contest. Anyway, somewhere I posted, they wanted you to post your first 4 or 5 lines of your book.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking, you know, that tells you right there, that's important. You've got to catch
mm-hmm.
somebody, some of them, in the first 4 or 5 lines
mm-hmm.
or you're going to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, exactly. It's got to be interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be entertained, you know. And if they're
right.
spending their hard-earned money, they should be entertained, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Anyway, I don't know, but anyway, yeah, I got it. Had a nap buzzing me this evening. So now, is there any other services you offer? You do reviews, you do editing. Is there anything else that you do on your site?
I do have a page that is, you know, that is dedicated to the author services, where authors can go and they can find out, you know, people that I recommend personally that
mm-hmm.
I either have worked with myself or I know people who have worked with them and had good things to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, for their covers, for formatting, promotion companies, because good promotion companies are really hard to come by,
mm-hmm.
swag makers, you know, it's really just resources for authors.
Mm-hmm.
On my
mm-hmm.
blog, I also host giveaways for readers. You know, and then I also have, you know, a variety of book signings and stuff that I do every year, you know, for the most part. And then I also do promo on my blog for authors as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Cool. And you said you have roughly 300 followers?
Yeah.
On your blog? That's good.
That's good.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I also have... I don't know. Well, and then everything that gets posted on my blog also goes
mm-hmm.
to, it gets pushed out to Goodreads,
mm-hmm.
Tumblr, Google+,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, my Facebook fan page, Twitter, and Google+, and LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. Wow.
Between all of those, it reaches, you know, provided the people look at it, it reaches over 3,000 people.
That's good.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That is good.
Yeah. We've got your website, Twitter, and Facebook links here on the show. And I'll also be adding those to the YouTube video of tonight's show that we'll have on the Desi Reed YouTube channel. So everybody, you can go in there and you can hook up with Angela and see what all fun things she's got going on. And sounds like a good deal.
If it's an author, if they look on the contact page, there is actually a contact form on there if they would like to put in to have me review for them. If they don't already have me on Facebook and contact me that way. That's usually the best way to contact me though.
And you authors, if you want an editor, sounds like she'll tear your book apart and make it shine for you. So get a hold of her.
Then again, by the time we're done, you might be ready to tear me apart. But
well, it's important. It's important, you know, to listen to your editor. You know, put your ego aside. And everything.
But that
definitely
goes both ways. You know, because they're, you know, an editor has to, they also have to put their ego aside and understand that, yes, it's my job to polish it and make it pretty for you, but it's your story, not mine.
Right.
Oh, yeah, not to change it. But you can make suggestions.
Right.
If they have a paragraph that just isn't clicking, but it needs to remain in there, you know, as an editor, you can say, you know, this is really good, but we need to sharpen this up a little bit.
And usually,
if you point that out, the author will go, oh, okay. And, you know, all they have to do is reword it. You know, like I know Lisa and I, when we send our work back and forth to each other and stuff, one thing her and I have promised each other is that we will be brutally honest, you know, and not let anything, if the other one says, oh, boy, this part here is crap. not get your feelings
right,
because, you know, sometimes when you're clunking away on your keyboard and you're typing and, you know, I don't know how other writers are, but sometimes I get lost in that world watching my story play out in my mind. And I'm plunking along and stuff like that. And, ooh, I'm feeling really good. I really cranked out some words today, and you know, and feel real good about it and go to bed. And next day I wake up and read it. I'm like, what the heck was I thinking?
If you have a good editor, I guarantee you by the time you're over, you will feel like you are closer to your editor than your spouse.
Yep.
True.
Yep. And a lot of
and
times,
the number one
writers,
thing.
What's that?
Do what?
I said the one thing is that writers too, we need to understand is that an editor, a good editor, will cut out all that unnecessary fat in a book, because we have a tendency of just kind of blabbing on at times, and you know, it just the story gets drowned. You know, and we think every word is absolutely necessary. Well, then the editor will come in there and she'll say, no, take this, let's move this there, da-da-da. And then when you go back and you read it, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that is better. Well, cool.
Well, and another thing that a lot of newer authors I'm finding do not know, or they have been led to believe otherwise, or they just don't know any better. Not really sure which, but if you have a good editor, you are not going to have that book back in 2 days. So you don't wait until you have your pre-order links up and then be like, hey, I need you to edit my book.
Right. Oh, gosh, yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's true.
And that seems to be a thing now. I can't count how many authors have come to me and they're like, oh, I've already put it up for pre-order and I need it done by this time. Okay, well, you're just now talking to me, so do what you do.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like just because you can hit that publish button does not mean you should.
No, exactly.
Exactly.
Amen on that. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah.
And they're done
that's
that.
True.
Pay the price for it.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, the best advice that I got, and I don't even remember
who gave me this advice, but and I'm sure, you know, we've all heard it, is write your book, you know, and when you think you, when you've gone through multiple edits and everything, set it aside for, and this one person told me they had even set it aside for 6 months, you know, and just let it sit there. And then they came back and edited it with fresh eyes. And they were like, you know, you'll be amazed. And I've done that. You know, I've set stuff aside like that for a long periods of time and come back, just like they said, with fresh eyes and caught new things that needed done. So
the other thing is, I don't care how good your local bag boy told you your book is, you
mm-hmm.
always need an editor.
Right.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Very, very true. Editors are very, very important. I mean, they are unsung heroes in
mm-hmm.
in the writing world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The cover artists.
We're also the easiest scapegoats.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My editor did. But you know what? If you're a beginning author, be sure you get a reputable editor. There are a lot of people out there that claim to be an editor, and you don't
mm-hmm.
know, and they send you something, and you think they know. I've had so many writers say, oh, man, I got hurt really bad on that. You know,
right.
So,
yeah.
You know,
always,
be sure.
Always check references.
Yeah.
Yes, always
mm-hmm.
take your time, shop around, be sure what you're doing, because you fork out your money, and you don't know, because you're first at this, it could really come
mm-hmm.
back and bite you in the short. And that's something that's not good to start your career out with, you know. It's hard
that's
enough.
True.
It's hard enough to break even nowadays, you know. When
mm-hmm.
you have a book, you put all this money into it, and you know, you're in the red, and now you try to start selling it. It takes a while nowadays to break even. So
mm-hmm.
be sure that your investments are well worth it. You know, that's
yeah.
another thing. If you have a decent editor, be prepared to spend hours on the phone with them.
Mm-hmm.
Usually,
yep,
by the time
yep.
a book is done, my clients become my best friends.
Right.
First name basis. They know what you had for breakfast that morning, the whole bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we probably know how many kids each other has, any childhood illnesses, you know, what our most annoying habit of our husband is.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, ladies, we are on the countdown to the end of the show. We've got 7 minutes until Blog Talk shuts us down for the night.
Wow, it doesn't feel like it's been that long.
I know, because it's been
an hour.
Okay, we're going to have to do this whole three-way thing more often.
All right, three-way, woo! Well, what kind of books she reviews and edits, don't we, Lisa?
Yeah. Hey, I've got a couple of to introduce you to.
I just finished the Menagerie
earlier
today.
Huh? What'd you say?
Oh, I said, as a matter of fact, I just finished a menage earlier today.
There you go. She does the spicy book. Woohoo!
Yeah.
If
nothing
you write
wrong
it, I'll
spice.
Read it.
That's funny. Okay, well, we'll have to have you back sometime. We had a lot of fun tonight. And
mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoyed time here on Dirty Into the Night with Lisa and I. Like we warned you, we're a little bit crazy. So.
Whatever. You just liked that I had both of you rolling before we ever went on the air.
That's
yes,
true.
You did. You caught us totally off guard with that one.
Hey, you can tell the joke. I'd like to hear the joke again.
It's simple. What is the difference between being hungry and being horny? Where you put the cucumber?
There you go.
Yeah, you got Lisa. You got Lisa all giggling on that one.
Yep, that's funny.
And on that note, well, Angela, we had a great time tonight. Keep editing those books, making them shine for authors so the readers have fun stuff to read. Keep doing those reviews. Maybe someday you'll review some of ours.
And I actually have some of both of y'all's. I actually need to get done. I'm not even going to lie. They kind of got lost in the shuffle this past year.
You may want to have new copies because they may have been re-edited since then.
Huh. Well, then it looks like you will just get the scathing review that went with the unedited version.
Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
I already got enough of those when I did my first messed up thing when I was a greenhorn. If I ever get too cocky,
now
I just have to go to
come
reading.
Out.
Yeah, well, you know. If I ever get too cocky, I just have to go in and read those reviews and I get slapped back down to earth again.
Right? That's true.
Is that when we find you in a puddle of tears on the floor?
Right.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Been there, done that.
Yep.
Okay, well,
yeah,
ladies.
See, that's
that
the other reason I can't be an author.
Why is that? The meanie people?
Because I'm not a self-deprecating person.
You have to be in this business. You have to be willing
that's
to, you know, yeah. Yeah, that one sucked. I know. I did really bad on that book. Life goes on.
Yeah. Let me see you try to ride wood.
Neater.
Yep, I'm good.
Yep.
Well, ladies. Blog Talk's going to shut us off in here in a minute. It was fun, Angela. We're going to have you back.
Yeah, it was.
I look forward
to
it.
We'll talk to you later,
all
okay?
Right. Thank
all right.
You.
You have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive.
Okay, I have to say, she was one of the most fun people we've had. I have to say
she's
that.
She's hysterical.
We've enjoyed
hysterical.
It. It's been a while since I've laughed as much as I've laughed tonight, so
I appreciate it. She got a good sense of humor. She got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, she does.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, folks, next week we're going to have Jillian Bullock and John Quinlan on. They're going to be talking about their soon-to-be-released movie, Sense of Purpose, Fighting for Our Lives. And next week will be our new format. We're cutting down to only a half hour, so we're going to be lean and mean. So, and we'll also be on at 10 o'clock from now on. So we'll see you next week, 10 o'clock. Same place, different time. You guys have a great week, and we'll catch you next Thursday evening.
Night.
Good night, everyone.